To show you something in the Bible about what we just did today. Acts chapter 8. And this is an account of a man getting baptized, water baptized. Not all baptisms in the Bible are being dunked underwater. It's kind of interesting. I know I say this just about every time we do these. Kind of ironic, maybe you could say, that you're in a Baptist church, and of all the denominations, Baptists probably believe the least in baptism. What I mean by that is, generally in a lot of denominations, baptism is an entrance into a covenant or even salvation in some cases. Where somebody goes under the water and that means they got saved. That's the way the Holy Spirit gets transferred, but that's not in the Bible. And so in the Bible, when a person gets baptized in water, they're not the Holy Spirit's not being given to them or anything like that. They are publicly showing something they've already done. And so that's why before we do this, I visit with everybody and do the best we can to make sure that people have already trusted Jesus Christ, and this isn't just something to do. And because for some it is. It's just something to do and some religious act or something like that. But here's an example in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26 of baptism, and I give you 3 points on baptism here, and they all start with O, so you can follow along. It's very simple and homiletic. Sounds real sophisticated, but anyway, Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah," that's Isaiah, "and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, here's qualification, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just a note, if you have something other than a King James Bible, that verse is probably not in your Bible. But that is the answer to the question, what hinders me from being baptized? Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea." So, in these verses, very simply, in these verses, you have the criteria, yet you have a reason to be baptized, And the man's not getting saved. He already believes in Jesus Christ. He's obviously traveled from Africa to Jerusalem to celebrate an Israeli feast. So he is partaking of the scriptures in some way. He has the scriptures and he's reading them, and so he is participating with the Israelites in their feasts, and has come to understand that he's heard about Jesus Christ, and now he's reading Isaiah, and Isaiah seems to be talking about some prophet, and he doesn't know who he's talking about, but where this Ethiopian man is reading, the Bible says he's reading in Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah chapter 53 is the most, that entire chapter is all about Jesus Christ. Literally every verse is about Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you 3 points in all this, these verses, about a believer's baptism. Because what we just did, as I said before, and I cannot stress it enough, that if a person gets in the water and they don't believe in Jesus Christ, or they've never trusted Jesus Christ, or it's a religious act to them, what they did was they got wet. It didn't change their soul in any way. And in these verses, it's explained what water baptism does. And there are, just for your information, multiple baptisms in the Bible, and not all of them include water. In fact, most of them don't. This one particularly, this one does. So here's the layout here that we're going to go through. The first thing is a notice an opportunity. Baptism is an opportunity to publicly profess something that's already happened inwardly. Baptism is a way of saying to others, I have trusted Jesus Christ. I believe on the Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's what this Ethiopian eunuch does. So it is an opportunity. Paul gets baptized after he gets saved, and Cornelius and his whole house gets baptized, and after they hear the preaching, they've already been involved in Cornelius has built a synagogue for the Jews. So he's very involved in the Israelites' religion. I say religion, but very involved in the Israelites' the scriptures in the Old Testament, and so he is interested in the scriptures. And so Cornelius has a familiarity with it. So when Peter goes to Cornelius to preach to him, Cornelius already has a familiarity with this. So the point is, when Cornelius believes, his whole household believes, and they're all baptized. And then the Philippian jailer, he trusts Jesus Christ. He goes home, and his whole family does the same thing, and they all get baptized. There's a man named Crispus. He's a leader in the synagogue in Corinth, and he gets baptized after he gets saved. And the point is, it's an opportunity to obey the Lord. It's an opportunity to publicly let people know something that's already happened on the inside. And I say that so that, because it's what the Bible says, but it is also, I try to be very careful, and you'll notice in the Bible, babies are never baptized. There are no baby baptisms because babies don't profess a belief in Jesus Christ, and so they haven't come to that point yet. And of course, according to the Bible, before there is a knowledge of good and evil, there is no accountability anyway. I mean, there's no law held over anyone's head if there's no understanding of the law. So anyhow, there's no baptism of babies in the Bible. You'll never find that. Baptism is an opportunity, though, for somebody who has trusted Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to obey. It's an opportunity to publicly show that, hey, I have trusted Jesus Christ, and I intend to live my life this way. So we try to be very careful. Personally, I try to be very careful with kids getting baptized, because sometimes kids get baptized and then they've kind of mimicked their mom and dad's belief system, and then they become teenagers, and then they realize there's relationships and all this other stuff, and then that God's not really that important anymore, and or really he never was that important. It's just something that mom and dad told me to do, which is good. Mom and dad ought to tell you to trust Jesus Christ. But if you don't personally do that, it's an individual decision. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That whosoever means whosoever personally. It's not a group. It's not the conglomerate of people or a whole congregation. It's individual. And so I give you an instance where in Acts chapter 8, you're in Acts chapter 8, but right before this Ethiopian eunuch gets baptized, there's another man that gets baptized, and he's not saved. His name is Simon, and he is a sorcerer. And he gets baptized so that he can get a little more credibility, I guess. Just show that he has more power than people think he has. And so anyway, he gets baptized early on in Acts 8, and before you know it, his heart is revealed before the end of the thing, where Peter says, "You have no part in this. You're in the gall of bitterness." And I say that again because it's a warning. I want to make very, very clear, very clear. Baptism is an opportunity to profess something that's already happened to you on the inside, a decision you've already made. It is a public display, and I am very careful, try to be very careful with kids getting baptized. It's nice to see young men get baptized. It's good to see Preston, because you understand, and at that age you understand and you can explain and you understand, and it's just you've passed through some phases in your life where you've felt the lust of the flesh, and you know what that feels like in regards to obedience to God now, and kids haven't done that yet, and I'm just being very, very transparent with you about these things. You know it because you grew up and you went through those phases as a young man or young woman, and then you get to be a teenager, and all of a sudden all those hormones start kicking in, and you start thinking, you know, well, maybe obedience to God is not all it's cracked up to be. I mean, it's kind of easy when you're a kid, but when you're dealing with, hey, I want to date this person, or I want to go out with this person, then all of a sudden, well, maybe God's advice isn't that great. You understand? I think you understand what I'm saying. So anyhow, all that said, it's an opportunity for somebody who has trusted Jesus Christ. This Ethiopian eunuch, he's already made the decision. And when Philip asked this question here, he, or the Ethiopian eunuch says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip's answer is, well, if you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. Which implies, if you don't believe, then there's no reason to be baptized. So that's the first thing. It's an opportunity. But that brings us to the second point. There's obstacles involved. I think this fella is an interesting fella. This is the Ethiopian eunuch, because he is in the Department of the Treasury in Ethiopia. So he is a high-ranking official. This isn't just somebody that just shows up. This is somebody that, if he's going to get baptized, there's going to be a lot of people who see this. There's a whole entourage of people that are probably heading back to Ethiopia, having traveled with this man, and he's probably wearing all kinds of jewelry and just nice clothing, which means if you're going to get baptized, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, all this stuff's going to come off. So you take off all the jewelry and all the stuff, and it's just like what we did up there. It's a t-shirt and pants or whatever. And so he takes probably off a robe and you know, his suit and all that kind of thing, and just gets down to a whatever would be a t-shirt back then and some pants. And so his decision to be baptized is a very, very, it's a big decision. And it's not just something to be taken lightly. Obviously, this man's already made some decisions in his life because he traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem just to participate in a feast. And so his decision, his devotion is pretty evident already. But just the obstacles, dealing with the obstacles, the first obstacle to getting baptized is belief. If you don't believe, there's no point in getting baptized. You got to believe first. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And so there's an obstacle there. So that excludes, you know, like we said, baby baptisms. You're not being baptized to be put into a covenant or anything like that. Belief excludes general religion. It's just like I'm gonna become a part of this religion, so I'm gonna get baptized, which is what a lot of folks do. It's just I'm gonna become part of this religion, and the way I become part of this religion, the first step is I just go get baptized in this religion. Well, that's not biblical baptism, not water baptism anyway. Another obstacle, first obstacle is belief. The second obstacle is pride. If this man had any less devotion than he had, I imagine he wouldn't have any desire to be baptized, considering all the trouble he's going to have to go through to do it. He is a wealthy man. He is a man in the Department of Treasury in Ethiopia. He works for the queen, and when he hears about Jesus Christ, he is thoroughly convinced that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. And so when he asks Philip, what hinders me to be baptized, Philip's question there in verse 37, which I will remind you, just you need to take note of it. You need to take note of it and be careful with it, because some things that claim to be Bibles aren't Bibles. And if your translation doesn't have verse 37, y'all look at it now. See if your verse is in there. That's the answer to the question. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the second obstacle, first is belief. Second thing you could say is pride. This man gave up a lot to get baptized. It was going to require a lot on his part. Get rid of these clothes, at least for a period of time. He's going to get wet. He's going to go down into the water and get wet. And that may not be comfortable on the ride home. I don't know. I don't know if he has towels or whatever. Then the last thing is this. There's obstacles. Then there's the object lesson. And here in Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, here's the object lesson. In the water baptism, a person goes in the water and they come out of the water, which means he wasn't sprinkled. He didn't have someone throw water on him. It means that he went all the way down into the water and he came all the way out of the water. Verse 38 says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Baptism is you could say it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's also this. Everywhere in the Bible here, before this instance here with the Ethiopian eunuch getting baptized in water, everywhere water baptism has shown up, there is not only an identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but there is also a public declaration or an intention of the person that's getting baptized to publicly say, I intend to live my life according to this belief from here on out. And so that's why when you have folks getting baptized, like John the Baptist, he's baptizing folks in water, which is where the first showed up. And he asks the Pharisees. He said, who hath warned you to flee to the wrath to come? And he preaches repentance. He preaches that they need to trust the one that's coming. He says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And so this baptism, it is not only a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's also a statement on the part of someone who is getting baptized to say, I intend to live my life according to this belief now. Is that going to happen every day? No. But that's the state. That's the public testimony. I intend to identify with Jesus Christ from here on out. And so those are the things that are associated with this baptism. I imagine this Ethiopian eunuch, when he goes back to Ethiopia, he probably doesn't hide his faith. He probably doesn't hide the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I imagine he takes it back, and there are some histories and things like that that say as much, but he intends to publicly honor Jesus Christ, just like, I mean, this man left Ethiopia for I don't know how many days or weeks to go to a Jewish feast. So everybody knew his testimony. They knew he identifies with the God of Israel. That's who this man identifies with, the God of Israel. And so it's an opportunity. Baptism, water baptism, is an opportunity to publicly profess faith in Jesus Christ. There are some obstacles to it. Belief, you got to believe, first of all. Pride will keep you from getting baptized. If somebody's older, they get saved later in life, and they'd think, I don't want really anyone to know about this, and, it's kind of a hassle to do it, and things like that, which I have heard as much said before. Sometimes pride gets in the way, and then ultimately, the object lesson of all of this. So what you saw today it's a blessing. It is a blessing to see folks get saved. It's a blessing to see people be obedient in baptism. And it's a blessing to publicly honor the Lord Jesus Christ this way. And again, if any of you here have seen this, what we've done this morning, heard anything I've said, and you're sitting in your seats and I am not saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ. I've been in church. I kind of go to church. I even read my Bible sometimes. I even have answers to questions in Sunday school. But I'm not saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ, which a lot of people going to church right now, this morning, are lost. They're going to church as religious people, and maybe that's you, and I hope it's not, but here's the answer. Here's how you fix that. You know you're a sinner. You know your soul is not right with God. You know that your sins are going to be judged one day. The Bible says, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so after that judgment, it's not a question and answer. It's not to see what you did. When God judges mankind, he already knows what man's done. It's a sentencing. And what happens right now before that judgment day, before God reckons all things and accounts for all things, there is if you were to die right now, there's only one of two places you will be. You will either immediately find yourself in hell, waiting for God to open the books and cast you into a lake of fire, or you will find yourself in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And if you find that you have never addressed your sin, you've been religious. You got a King James Bible, and I can do all the studies. I can name all the verses. That's great. That's real good. But you've never had a change of your life. You've never been born again. Your spirit has never changed. It's never been made right with God. If you find yourself in that position this morning, here's what you do. You trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It is literally that easy, because He did the work and you can't do the work. There is no work you or me, any of us can do that God the Father will be impressed with. God the Father is impressed with Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ are all the blessings of God the Father. And outside of Jesus Christ, there are no blessings. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You may have a big house, you may have 14 cars, but according to God the Father, once you die, once this body is dead, the soul is not right with God, and that soul is you. That's you. That's the important part. What shall a man gain? What shall a man gain if he gain the whole world? What shall a man gain if he gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? And he says, what will man give for his own soul? I encourage you. Some of you here are saved, but I don't want to tell people they're saved who aren't saved. You need to honestly think about that. You may have been coming to church here for a long time. Maybe you're a visitor. I don't know. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I encourage you today, trust Jesus Christ. He is the only hope for your soul. He is the only hope of righteousness. He is the only payment for sin. And He's the only one that beat death, and He offers you eternal life. Whoever you follow, whatever philosopher you follow, I like this guy over here. I like this newscaster over here. I like Buddha over here. I like this guy over here. Whichever one you follow is going to die one day and be in a grave. And that's as far as their philosophy will take them. As far as their philosophy will take them. Jesus Christ beat death, rose again the third day, and He offers freely eternal life to whosoever will have it. Whosoever will have it. It's a free offering. Righteousness is a free gift, and I hope you will take advantage of it today if you haven't already. Those of you who have, amen. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to baptize folks who have already made this profession and said, you know what? I trust Jesus Christ for my sin. I trust Jesus Christ to save my soul. Some of you, you could learn from the kids that did that today. Some of you may be older and you're still, I don't believe this Jesus thing. You will when you die. You'll believe this Jesus thing. You need to believe it before you die. Absent from the body, present with the Lord if you're in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Jesus Christ, absent from the body, present in hell. Say, that's harsh. Reality is harsh. It is unfortunate that we have sinned against the holy God. That we live in perversion constantly against the holy God. That most of us will gather on a Sunday morning, but most everything else is more important to us. Regularly, we sort of give God our leftovers. It is incredible how much we need God, but have abandoned Him. But I pray, if you're saved, amen. Let's get our hearts right with God. If you're not saved, today's as good as any to get saved. Trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why in the world? You think you're a good businessman? Why would you pass that up? It's free. It's given as a gift. You think you're savvy in your business dealings? And you're going to turn down eternal life that's free? You aren't as savvy as you think you are. You aren't as smart as you think you are. Trust Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ. I implore you, trust Jesus Christ. Alan will be around. I'll be around after this service. We're going to wrap it up in just a second here. But after this service, if you need to talk to somebody, talk to me. Talk to Alan. Craig will probably be around. talk to one of us. Trust Jesus Christ. He is the only source of life. Literally, the only source of life. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ.